is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokets, and welcome back. It is July 11th. It's Monday, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm glad we're back, and we're back from vacation. I know y'all missed us, and we're glad to be here. Thanks for joining us here for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Anything interesting happened while we were out? Yeah, indeed, there was a lot of news stories we got to cover. But before we get to that, let's introduce the crew sitting to my right, the pirate, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
What's up right now is Webcam Max has decided to not work on me.
Of course.
You know, we start these shows off after a break and everything goes to hell, but we'll keep on working, and we hope you're still listening to us out there. Normally at this time we'd be talking to Cannabis Carrie, our news editor, but she is stuck in Idaho. She went to Idaho and they kept her. She's having some sort of car problem. So we will get her back on the air just as soon as possible. Also joining us here in the studio is Calico Castile, our intern. Hey, another new thing that's happened with Calico here, we've upgraded him. He's no longer Calico the intern, because it is summer, so you are now Wiz Calico.
Yes, Wiz Calico, formerly known as Calico the intern.
That's a beautiful thing. Glad to be here. We got all sorts of stories we have to cover here on Normal Show Live today, so stay tuned while we talk about that. Coming up on today's show, we will be getting to your hemp headlines first and foremost. The DEA has rejected the petition for the rescheduling of cannabis. We'll tell you all about it. Twitter, there's a big Obama town hall ask question of the president thing on Twitter. Guess what was the most popular question? I know you'll never guess, but we'll tell you all about that in the news. Also, Connecticut is now a decriminalization state. We'll tell you about the new law that took effect as of July 1st. The Department of Justice has issued a follow-up memo to the Ogden Memorandum clarifying their stance on medical marijuana. And here in Portland, Oregon, we've got a story that clarifies the federal government's position on medical marijuana and housing, on, you know, Section 8 housing, low-income housing. Of course, they're against it. So all of that is coming up in our hemp headlines here in just a couple of minutes. Also on today's show, we've got interviews, we've got audio direct from the San Francisco Medical Cannabis Cup that we were at just before vacation. I hope you watched some of our live streaming. If you missed it, you'll get to catch it here in our interviews. We'll be talking to Sarah Newton, Miss High Times 2007, Brittany Wagoner, Miss High Times 2010, and Clazina Rose, the new Miss High Times 2011. But wait, that's not all. We also get another interview, that's right, a double shot, with the ultra cool Subcool from Team Green Avenger. Great guy, great interview. We'll be talking to him in our second interview for the day. And toward the end of the show, we've got time for a little bit of radical ranting. Bill Bennett, the gambling overweight addict there, he had some things to say about legalization of marijuana. We'll talk about that in the radical rant. All that and more, stay tuned.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Normal Show Live is blogging and podcasting daily at stash.normal.org, the home of the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
As we said earlier, Cannabis Carry couldn't be with us today, so I will take care of your normal news. First of all, the federal government has reaffirmed the flat earth position regarding medical cannabis. This was on July 8th. USDEA Administrator Michelle Leonhardt reaffirmed in the Federal Register the administration's flat earth position regarding the medicinal properties of cannabis. Responding to a 9-year-old petition to reclassify marijuana under federal law filed by a coalition of advocacy groups, including Normal and California Normal, Michelle Leonhardt stated, quote, "There is no substantial evidence that marijuana should be removed from Schedule 1," end quote. A summary of Ms. Leonhardt's reasoning is included through links at our blog at normal.org, but here is the basic bullet points from their memo. Denial of petition to initiate proceedings to reschedule marijuana. 1. Marijuana has a high potential for abuse. The DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services evaluation, and additional data gathered by the DEA show that marijuana has a high potential for abuse. A high potential for abuse. 2, marijuana has no currently accepted medical use and treatment in the United States. According to the established case law, marijuana has no currently accepted medical use because the drug's chemistry is not known and reproducible. There are no adequate safety studies. There are no adequate and well-controlled studies proving efficacy. The drug is not accepted by qualified experts, and the scientific evidence is not widely available. 3, marijuana lacks accepted safety for use under medical supervision. At present, there are no U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved marijuana products, nor is marijuana under a new drug application evaluation at the FDA for any indication. Marijuana does not have a currently accepted medical use for treatment in the United States or a currently accepted medical use with severe restrictions. At this time, the known risks of marijuana use have not been shown to be outweighed by the specific benefits in well-controlled clinical trials that scientifically evaluate safety and efficacy. Coalition advocates will be appealing Leonhardt's decision in federal court. Now, Normal had previously filed a similar petition with the DEA in 1972 and did not get a federal hearing until 1986, a delay of, 14 years? In 1988, DEA Administrative Law Judge Francis Young ruled that marijuana did not meet the legal criteria of a Schedule 1 prohibited drug and should be reclassified. Then DEA Administrator John Lawn rejected Young's determination, and a decision the D.C. Appeals Court eventually affirmed in 1994. A subsequent petition was filed by Normal Director John Getman in 1995, but was rejected by the DEA in 2001. So it's three strikes and you're out here for the medical efficacy of marijuana. Now, let's just take a look at some of these points of theirs, saying that the drug's chemistry is not known or reproducible. Well, sure it is. We know what's in cannabis. THC, CBD, CBN, CBG, CBGBs, cannabidabadoo, whatever. But we know what's in marijuana. And is it reproducible? Yeah. Plant a seed and you can reproduce it, okay? There are no adequate safety studies. Well, we know that's just bull. We've reported on so many studies showing the safety and efficacy of cannabis that it doesn't even need to be gone into here. What they're really doing here is they're playing a little game. And the way the game works is they say, we can only legalize this drug if it's been studied by the FDA and the National Institutes of Drug Abuse. And then when anyone tries to make that study to present to the FDA or National Institutes of Drug Abuse, the DEA says, no, we can't let you have any cannabis to do that study. So they kind of say, yeah, there's no proof of this, but then they won't let us give them the proof. Now, while you may think this is bad news, this could actually be good news for us, this rejection, because by rejecting this, we can now take this to the courts where this can be outside of the DEA's interference and their interpretations of the law, and we can get a neutral judge to rule on these issues. Because it is clear to me, in the United States, where 16 of those United States now recognize the medical efficacy of cannabis, there is an accepted medical use in the United States. Another piece of news that happened while we were out, marijuana legalization question again tops the Obama Twitter town hall. For the third consecutive time in his presidency, when the Obama administration goes out to the general public seeking input and questions about the economy or government policies, the number one topic of the concern for the public, ending cannabis prohibition and finally re-legalizing the herb. This comes from rawstory.com. Quote, would you consider legalizing marijuana to increase revenue and save tax dollars by freeing up crowded prisons and courtrooms? This was retweeted 4,911 times, according to an analytics service. A question about letting the Bush tax cuts expire came in second place with only 1,800 retweets. Although marijuana legalization was an overwhelmingly popular question with Twitter users, Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey, who moderated the online town hall, focused on questions pertaining to the economy, education, and space exploration. Normal retweeted, ask Obama why they will answer Representative Boehner's question, but won't talk about cannabis jobs, legalize it, and start a new job-creating industry. That was retweeted itself more than 100 times. There's some great information on this as well, as far as how much this got retweeted. There were 119,000 tweets and 26,000 people that participated in this online town hall with 40,000 unique questions. And as far as this ranking goes, the distribution of the questions, we found that marijuana was around 15% of all of the questions that were asked, one of the largest slices of pie there on the pie graph. Second comes in jobs and the budget. And also they found out that the legalization of marijuana, again, we mentioned, had 49,000 retweets, 12% of all the questions. And we are showing here that once again, and if we go down to the what they call the topic cloud, you know, the different topics that people were asking about, we see marijuana, cannabis, cannabis jobs, legalization, all showing up in some of those top categories. It's time for Obama to stop ignoring this and to stop thinking that this is some sort of weird, you know, online anomaly that somehow, you know, they mentioned this in 2010 when it topped the questions before. They said, oh, it's the idiocy of trolls. It's just trolls that are allowing these questions. No, why don't we just apply Occam's razor here and realize that given the chance to anonymously address their government, people seriously want to legalize marijuana. It is no fluke this thing has come in first a number of times. I've counted 7 different times that the Obama administration has asked some sort of online policy thing, and every time marijuana legalization comes up in the top. When we did the YouTube forum, it was the top 100 questions. The first 100 questions were all about marijuana legalization, industrial hemp, or ending the drug war in general. Mr. Obama, this silent scream will be silent no longer. We must be addressed. We must end marijuana prohibition, and you can help us do that. Go to normal.org and look at the bill that's up there on the ending of federal marijuana prohibition. It's the Barney Frank Ron Paul bill. It would just require the federal government to end the enforcement of marijuana laws, leave that up to the states. If the states still want to prohibit marijuana, that's great, but it is no federal case to prohibit marijuana. Get online, do your part, and help us end this stupid prohibition. All right, we have another news story here in Connecticut. Marijuana decriminalization measure is now the law. This happened back on July 5th. Democratic Governor Dan Malloy signed legislation into law on Thursday, June 30th, decriminalizing the possession of small personal use amounts of marijuana by adults. The new law, Senate Bill 1014, took effect on Friday, July 1st. Senate Bill 1014 reduces the penalties for the adult possession of up to 0.5 ounce of marijuana from a criminal misdemeanor, formerly punishable by 1 year in jail and a $1,000 fine, to a non-criminal infraction, punishable by a $150 fine, no arrest or jail time, and no criminal record. The new law similarly reduces possession penalties for marijuana paraphernalia. Connecticut's new law is similar to the existing decrim laws in California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Nebraska, New York, and Oregon, where private non-medical possession of marijuana is treated as a civil non-criminal offense. Five additional states, Minnesota, Mississippi, Nevada, North Carolina, and Ohio, treat marijuana possession offenses as a fine-only misdemeanor offense. Alaska law imposes no criminal or civil penalty for the private possession of small amounts of marijuana by adults. Lawmakers in California and Kentucky previously enacted laws this year reducing penalties for marijuana possession. Everywhere we look, governments are realizing that marijuana possession is not a crime, that these activities by adults in their home in private are not crimes that the federal government or the state governments should be concerned with. Although I do have a small problem with the idea of decriminalization in that it removes a lot of the penalties for the consumers, but maintains the same penalties for the suppliers. So the guy buying the dime bag gets off a little better, but the guy growing the marijuana still gets punished in the same way. And it's a temporary solution. It's something that can't stand for any length of time. We need to move on to full legalization and make sure that all Americans enjoy the right to use cannabis responsibly, as is their American heritage. Another piece of news that appeared as we were out, the Department of Justice memo on medical marijuana. This is the Star Ledger in New Jersey published the clarifying memo. Now, you'll remember we had the Ogden memorandum that said the federal government wouldn't use their scarce resources to go after medical marijuana providers who are in compliance with state law. But now they are trying to say that they're changing their mind a bit. This is from the DOJ memo. Deputy U.S. Attorney General James Cole, in a letter addressed to every state attorney general, reaffirmed, quote, "It is likely not an efficient use of federal resources to focus on enforcement efforts on individuals with cancer or other serious illnesses who use marijuana as a part of a recommended treatment regimen and their caregivers," end quote. But the large-scale growing and scaling activity seen in some states troubles the Obama administration, according to Cole's letter. Again, quote, "There has, however, been an increase in the scope of commercial cultivation, sale, distribution, and use of marijuana for purported medical purposes," end quote, according to the letter. Quote, "For example, within the past 12 months, several jurisdictions have considered or enacted legislation to authorize multiple large-scale, privately operated industrial marijuana cultivation centers. Some of these planned facilities have revenue projections of millions of dollars based on the planned cultivation of tens of thousands of cannabis plants," end quote. The earlier memo, quote, "never intended to shield such activities from federal law enforcement and prosecution, even when these activities purport to comply with state law," end quote, according to the letter. Well, here's what the Obama administration's problem is with medical marijuana. They really don't have much of a problem with the medical marijuana side of it. They really don't have much of a problem if someone with cancer or AIDS or glaucoma manages to get some weed from, I don't know, the weed fairy, you know, magically drop some weed in their lap. They're fine with that. They're not going to go after that because they realize the public relations spectacle of locking up sick people and putting that on the news does not work in their favor. What they're really against is medical marijuana businesses. Just like any drug dealer, when you stake out your corner, you defend your turf. And the Obama administration, like the federal government in general, is just one big enforcer for Big Pharma's drug dealing. They don't want to see any competition with the Big Pharma drugs. And they know medical marijuana causes people to use one half to one third as much of the pharmaceutical medications they had used before for pain killing, for spasticity, for whatever. They know there'll be a massive drop in the demand for pharmaceutical medications if medical marijuana is allowed to be illegal. That is why they are doing this. It's just drug dealing. It's the same old story, and we've got to legalize for everyone or this never ends. Well, folks, there we go.
How about a break, Chris?
Yeah, we're coming back here from the vacation, and things like seems like everything's kind of in second gear. We'll get things fixed up, and we'll be back right after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Is that freedom? Freedom. I'm free to
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. Normal even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. Normal, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. Normal is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org. That's N-O-R-M-L.org. Or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you Tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, time to get back in the swing of things here with some Roots Monday music. And this is one from a group that we've played before, Hannah's Field. And the song is called Puff Puff Give. I think we've got video for this, so we'll just go ahead and play that for you. I'm not sure if this is the one that Cannabob sent in, but it's the one I had available. So we'll go with this one. Hannah's Field, and there we go. Hannah's
Hello,
Field
everybody.
With Puff Puff Give.
This is Hannah Bob with another video edition of the Roots Monday Toker Tune. Today we have Puff Puff Give by Hannah's Field. Hannah's Field is Hannah on vocals and guitar and Bongo Bliss on drums and percussion. Hannah's Field brings love, light, and spirit to the people with their gypsy reggae music. Their uplifting acoustic roots and African earth beats blend together, growing a magical experience for all. Nominated as Best Female Vocalist in the Hartford Advocate for many years, this powerful songstress has shared the stage with such great acts as the Average Weight Band, the Brothers Johnson, and Government Mule. Originally from New England, Hannah's Field now hails from Portland, Oregon, where they continue to churn out their enchanting music and tour the country. So take a puff, puff, and give with Hannah's Field on today's Roots Monday Toker Tune. We'll be right back.
business, know what you worth. Buy a puff, puff, gift, puff, puff, gift, puff, puff, gift. Chair and lift, puff, puff, gift, puff, puff, gift, puff, puff, gift. Chair and lift, puff, puff, gift. Use a cancer mind, helps the blind, rocks DJs to rhyme on time. Queen of Kaya, sweet, kind, live, world to the sky.
On the left hand side, I say, pass, pass, I don't cheap on the right hand side. I say, lift your chalice if you're feeling high. We know why you puff like praise, jump, Rastafari. Token Buddha makes me feel irie. I know why I feel free. Yes, I'm token sensei. So come on, puff up here if you know what I mean. So pass it around, baby, cause it's obscene. Don't hug the green.
Sunshine, free to live. Thank you, God, to God.
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We had ourselves a really good vacation, but before that vacation, we took a road trip. That's why we've been away for 3 weeks. The vacation was only 2 weeks, but we were away the week before as we prepared for High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, California. Myself, Coleco, Carrie, and Ganja John, who is the ultimate medical cannabis cup guy. He's been there, what, you've been to all of them, right?
Yeah, I've been to all the domestic cups.
You're the guy.
Yeah,
you're the expert.
I'm the guy.
So
Dave Bienenstock called me a domestic cup veteran.
Domestic cup veteran. That's right. So of all three cups, what'd you think?
Of all three cups,
yeah.
This was the one.
This was the one.
I didn't think this one could beat the one last year, but it did.
Yeah, it was
with
huge. The
colors.
Expo Center there.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic Expo Center. The guests were great. It was very well organized. The booth, the 215 area was nice. I mean,
beautiful.
Last year's cup, the first San Francisco cup, remember that cramped old parking lot we had to be in?
Yeah, and it was a tiny building, too.
Yeah, so this was a much, much better cup. Not that the first couple were bad. I mean,
they were awesome.
Better and better and better. So we were there streaming live, and throughout the rest of this week, I'm going to be playing for you all sorts of great clips from some of the panels that were available. But we also took the time to interview people as we could get them over to our booth. And the first set of interviewees we're going to play for you are three Miss High Times winners. We've got Sarah Newton from 2007, Brittany Wagoner from 2010, and Clazina Rose from 2011. And all three came by to sit down and chat with us, so that was really cool. Following that interview, we're going to play an interview for you from Subcool. You know Subcool from Team Green Avenger. What a great guy, John. I mean, the guy was just energetic.
Absolutely cool dude. 50 years old and acts like a 20-year-old.
He's 50?
It.
Really?
Yeah, 50 years old.
I would. Yeah, exactly. I would have never pegged him at 50 or even 40, really. Great guy. So we'll play these interviews for you. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live. This is Sarah Newton speaking with me. We'll start with Sarah and then Brittany and Clazina Rose. Let's hit it.
And as you go around to different places all around the world, you meet all tokers from different walks of life. What things are different around the world and what things are the same about tokers?
Oh, wow.
It's like one of those pageant questions, right?
Okay, I think wake and bake is pretty consistent across the board.
Okay, that's a universal constant. Okay,
that is. It's interesting, though, even in just California, like if you go more up north in California, people are more medical and they're more compassionate. And I feel like you go more south and it's more commercial, trying to hustle and make money.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, just stoners.
I get that feel. I get that feel for sure. I found like East Coast people like joints, West Coast people like glass, and Southerners like bongs. You find that?
And blunts.
And blunts. There we go. All right, let's talk to Clazina here, because Clazina, we met at Medical Cannabis Cup last year, right? At the smaller. Remember, we were all packed down there.
Yeah,
it was all packed and crammed up. And I found it funny because you handed me a flyer. Like, it was like I was talking to a congressman, someone running for Congress. So Calico for Congress, you know, vote for me. And she handed me this flyer, vote for me. I'm like, what are you running for, right? Oh, Miss High Times. So what was it like? I mean, have you ever campaigned for anything before? And were you surprised to win?
Yeah, I saw it in the magazine, different girls, and I was working at a medical dispensary, and I was like, I can do this. It'll be fun. Like, I want to be out there, but, you know, I'm trying to learn more about it. This would be definitely a good way to, you know, talk to some other girls that are involved as well.
So,
and
you said you're from Colorado, right?
No.
You're from California. She's from Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay. So you work in a dispensary. Are you just buttending, or...?
Yeah, I was started as a receptionist. I didn't really know too much. I learned a lot there. We actually got shut down like 4 months later.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was sad, but I got right away into a new one. And
it like a local, was it a raid? Were there, I mean...
They sent us letters and threats and stuff like that, and they didn't want to have to deal with it. You know, they were afraid of all the raids going on, so we just went with it and shut down. And eventually went with someone else, and it's worked out since, but...
Okay,
and it's just happening all over too. The one I went to next, that eventually happened too. And
it's not you though, right?
No. I mean, we're trying everything we can. But
there's like a secret list. Do not hire this girl everywhere she goes.
No,
that's not it.
All right, we're like families too, connected. So like, there's other ones that, you know, they welcome me when stuff like that happens. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? I know you go to Amsterdam, but what will you be doing in this year as Miss High Times?
I really want to learn more about more medical states.
Uh-huh.
So I plan on next actually going to Colorado.
And
I know Brittany's there.
Well, let's talk to Brittany about Colorado. We'll get Brittany in here and as get as close as you can there. But Brittany, Miss High Times 2010 from Colorado. Now, did you work out there in the in any dispensaries or in the industry in Colorado? Because I know it's pretty pretty big out there.
I do. I've worked for actually quite a few of the collectives out there. Not really collectives or dispensaries.
Medical cannabis centers.
Yeah, there's
MCCs.
Centers. I mean, I'm really proud of my state because they're the first to actually like really legitimize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have a badge to even just go into a place now. And it's really interesting. I think we're like probably the forefront of what legalization should be. So I really like to be in the garden, to be quite honest with you. That's
You're
where my
green
heart
thumb, huh?
That's where my heart lies. Yeah,
do you all
yeah.
grow, all three of you? Do you have you grown gardeners?
I grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it? Right on.
Yeah.
So in this year that you've been Miss High Times, what's it been like? Where have you gone? Who have you met?
I mean, like, I've actually just got to really know, like, who I am as a person. Like, I could be a genuine human being and not have to, like, portray to be anybody. You know, I'm just myself, and it feels really good to actually be able to do that and believe in something that is really helps other people. So I feel pretty honored that I got to go to Amsterdam and meet, like, a lot of my, like, I got to meet the originator of the pollinator and also the bag. Her name's Mila, and I got to meet her. Cheech and Chong, they were cool. I mean, the best part about being Miss High Times is probably meeting the other girls that also like to smoke, because it's really hard to find women in the industry that actually like to smoke. You're puff tough, you know, like... Mm-hmm. Can't find them, you know, where I'm from.
Well, this is something, it might be interesting. These books that are in front of here, I just wrote a book, and it's about marijuana facts. You were talking about wanting to know about medical states. Everything I know about the industry is in these books.
I've been on your website.
And one of the things that I learned is I wanted to find out, you know, because one of the things that gets brought up is the is women in the industry and in the magazines, and you mentioned the mostly topless and, you know, the ads with the buds and all that kind of stuff. And so I got to thinking, you know, well, how many women are there that are really, you know, getting offended by this and are being misportrayed by this industry? And when you do the statistics on it, we actually find that when you get down to daily tokers, it's 2-to-1 male. There's two males who smoke every day compared to every one female, and at the monthly level, it's like 60-40 or something like that. So as Miss High Times's, is it something that you would like to see more young women taking on rather than alcohol or anything else? Or, I mean, what do you think of that stat, that it's 2-to-1 men to women?
Women just haven't come out of the closet yet.
You just think they're not admitting it.
Yeah, I think a lot of women, because they're mothers too, they feel fearful,
yeah.
Like they can't come out of the closet and be open and be active with it, because they don't want to get their children taken away, sadly. But, you know, we're working to change that. And it's funny that you bring this up, because I ended up at the Normal Women's Alliance meeting last night, met, you know, a bunch of amazing women, talked to Debbie Goldsberry and, you know, Mickey Norris, and I want to work with these girls right here and start chapters of the National, you know, Normal Women's Alliance, where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in Los Angeles. You know, we've got an OC girl. We've got Colorado. We want to spread this. Bring women out of the woodworks, because we're powerful. And if we can harness that power in one place, then, you know, that's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and it's positive portrayals that you guys give to other women who might have a second thought about it, to think, well, no, wait, you know, the stereotypical stoner chick isn't what I think it is. I can be out about this and not be, you know, in that, you know, castigated as part of that group. You can give them a different option.
Exactly. You know, and I think we're all pretty good representations of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You know, and showing women that they can be classy and keep your clothes on and be effective and powerful and, you know, passionate and actually make changes. You know, we're all so tired of what we're having to deal with right now in this country, and, you know, we're all ready for change, and I strongly feel that 2012 is the time. You know, it's the end of one era, and it's the beginning of badass female empowerment.
All right, and along those lines, what do you think? 2-to-1 men versus women. Do you know a lot of women that toke, or...
No, not
really.
At all.
And no. So this is like, you know, getting to meet these other ladies is
great.
Like, yay,
and
finally
interacting with the girls online. It's nice too. And no, I just have a few girlfriends that, you know, because where I'm from, Orange County too, it, you know, that you can't smoke weed. It looks bad. And like, I mean, I was in the closet for a couple of years too before I finally was like, why? So I just want to like reach out to the, you know, girls, women across, you know, everywhere, and let them know, like, why be afraid? Like, there's no, you know, we were talking about, like, kids and all that. Like, I was a preschool teacher before that, and it was a huge thing for me to be like, okay, I support marijuana, and a lot of the families, like, they don't talk to me anymore because of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's one family that does, though, and their son has autism, and they support it, and they're all about it, so they kept in contact. But it's just a sad, unfortunate thing, and there's no need for it.
For me, what's it's frustrating to me covering this issue, when I one of the posts that I got the most comments on had to do with a young woman in Alabama who the infant's meconium tests positive for THC. They, you know, Child Protective Services takes the baby. And I have over 170 comments from other women across the country like, I'm 6 months in. I'm 6 weeks in. What do I do? Oh, are they going to take my baby? Oh, my God. And so the Normal Women's Alliance is together and examining these issues that are specific concern to women, you know, motherhood, getting your kids taken away, these kind of issues. Thank you so much for doing them. I appreciate it. And Brittany, any thoughts on that as well, as far as the 2-to-1 men to women?
I think it's unfortunate, and I think that Sarah is right when she talks about how they haven't really came out of the closet. Because I mean, like, I work at a dispensary as well. I have, and they will come in and they're so secretive about it, and it's just like, why? You know, you come in and you're supposed to have all the freedom that you can, and they just like limit themselves to, you know, just getting what they can. So I just feel like there should be more women that come out.
I'm always telling girls too at my dispensary, I'm like, sign up, like,
just
online.
Come on out,
like,
come on
if they
out.
Want to, they're like, yeah, like, okay, this is cool. So
right on. Well, I'm glad you guys are doing it. You're making a very very positive role models for people out there. It's Mrs. High Times 2007, 2011, 2010. We got Sarah Newton. We got Plazina. We got Brittany. Thank you so much, Texas.
Thanks,
California,
Russ.
Colorado. All right, we're going to stay tuned. We get this next panel up. Thank you, ladies, so much.
All right, we've got Subcool here, legendary cannabis breeder and man about town. How you doing?
You know, I'm really good. I got to say, it's a really one of the best cups I've been to.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to let everybody know that because, you know, in the past, not always has it been run well. But I got to tell you, man, this thing's run slick, easy. It was well put together for all the vendors. We got in and out easy.
Yeah, we've got a number of chatters here watching us live, you know, all across the country. And Damon was wanting to know what he thought the outstanding or standout strain was this year. What do you think?
Well, you know, the best thing I've smoked here today is the Jelly Bean Candy that I brought.
Yeah.
We didn't enter it into the cup. We just brought
There's applause from the crowd.
We just brought... Hey, I think he just smoked some. But we didn't enter this year. We just thought it would be better to come and get everybody high. And, you know, just be real nice. You know, we're just giving books away. And we made these cool little paper rolling trays, and we're giving 10,000 of those away. And we're signing books and stuff. And everybody that comes out is, like these guys, gets ripped. Because we're medicating 6 strains outside. We have Jack the Ripper, Jilly Bean, Plush Berry. We have a little bit of Vortex, which won last year's cup.
Right.
Are you aware of that controversy?
The God's Pussy controversy?
Yes, God's Pussy controversy.
I'm a little aware.
Yeah.
But luckily, you know, we're not on FCC radio here.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, good. Well, it worked out. You know, the guys were so cool, and they were humble. They weren't trying to start any shit. They did offend a lot of people. But the guy told me, he goes, we didn't think we'd win, and we were just goofing around. You know,
Nobody told us we'd win the damn thing.
Exactly. But, you know, my take on that, and this is going to sound salesy, but I mean this. Because it touched me this way. You know, some kid bought a pack of my genetics, grew them out, won the cup. So I would say I'm doing my job.
That ain't so bad. And, you know, we were watching the cultivation seminar yesterday, and Danny was up, Jorge Cervantes, Adam Dunn. They're all talking about needing to go back to seed, go back to, you know, everybody's been cloning. Tell folks why that's so important to you.
Well, here,
aside from just the business aspect of it.
You know, it's really not. If you guys, anybody that's ever met me, they know that. I mean, we give seeds to anybody that's fought in the war, anybody that's hurt, anybody that's down on their luck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be a pretty big piece of shit if, you know, I got an email from some vet that is all screwed up. And you can tell because of the technical language, you know.
Sure.
That if I didn't give him genetics, I mean, that would just be cruel. So we use the fact that we are a good company to do that. But on the clone issue, the first thing is the mislabeling. You know, I have seen California Orange labeled as train wreck. I mean, the common person that doesn't see marijuana all day like we do, I mean, we're actually involved in business, and we see 50 to 60 strains a month all the time. We see them over and over and over. I can pick OG Kush out. You know, yep, that's OG Kush. You know?
Yeah.
People walk up to me and hand me jars, and so I have that ability just like anybody with a job learns, you know, they get better at it. Okay, so there's mismanagement clones. Say you go buy a bunch of clones, and you think you're going to get this clone that you're needing for your medication. Let's say you have anxiety. And you're looking for an indica, and you take it home and you grow it out, and it's not an indica, it's a sativa haze, and then you're bouncing off the damn walls, and so that's bad. But the main reason is that, in my opinion, is people are passing around mildew and mites. Mm-hmm. Mites are invisible to a non-skilled grower. Mildew is not only invisible, but it can be systemic in the plant.
Right.
You can actually infect a cutting and a line of cuttings with mildew, and then you bring them in. The other reason is, you know, who knows who made that selection? You know, was it someone with the passion that I have for selecting a cutting? Or was it someone cracking a 10-pack in seeds looking for a mom to make some clones to sell for $8 a piece? Mm-hmm. So when you crack your own seeds, you get to choose the type of medication that you need. We were just outside smoking both the orange jelly bean and the candy store jelly bean. One of them has a calming effect, and one of them makes you giggle. You know, it's according to what you really want out of life, yeah, and strains. And I think that's why it's so important. And if I can speak just a little bit, I am so proud to see, you know, my friends California Connection, yeah, and all the other seed companies like DNA out here representing, bringing genetics to the people, even though it's a dangerous climate and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we do it because all day long people keep coming up to me, shaking my hand and thanking me and telling me I'm the man, because of some genetics they grew out. And whether they have Crohn's disease or MS, they've learned to make my tincture, you know.
Yeah.
I want you guys all to taste the tincture, by the way. I brought three different kinds, lemon, orange, and Apollo rocket fuel. Which is definitely not for nighttime. Put a little bit of coffee. But, you know, tinctures are a real way to heal without smoking. You know, I am a smoker, and you're an idiot if you don't think that a lifetime of smoking is good for you. It's just not.
No.
So everything in moderation is what your mom
That's
said.
That's right. Breathing any sort of burning vegetable matters, not on the list of healthy things to do.
It's just not. So, you know, I smoke pot. I was just outside smoking pot. But I understand that it is going to do something to me in the long run. And so tinctures are a really good way to get by that. I'll share my million-dollar idea with everybody online. We haven't done it yet, but if you took, like, some jelly bean tincture and you were smart, you could make jelly beans.
Yeah.
I would buy some, and
Jelly Belly.
I bet everybody on the in this room would buy some orange tincture jelly beans.
Yeah.
So I want some candy maker to do that for me.
All right, candy makers out there, you're on notice. Subcool here wants you to make the hemp Jelly Belly.
Absolutely.
I'm looking
really
forward to that.
Yeah.
You know, with the medical industry, you know, growing like it is, California, Colorado, and people and patients having much more selection and ability to discern what they're looking for, we see like Project CBD and a lot of these guys that are talking about now breeding more for CBD, and how in the past, since we've always been breeding to get high, we've bred out CBD. What are you doing along those lines? Are you trying to get into more different cannabinoid ratios and contents there in your strains?
What a good question.
Thank you. I do this for a living.
We have just discovered in the last 6 months that one of our strains, Jack the Ripper, has a high percentage of THCV. Now, THCV is tetrahydrocannabinol. And I'm going to get just a little technical here, but I'm just repeating what I read, okay?
Okay.
Basically, THC works on the CB1 receptor, and that's what is the psychoactive effect. It's what makes us high or paranoid or sleepy or stony or whatever. And then we have other cannabinoid acids that react on the CB2 receptor. Now, the CB2 receptor is where all of our autoimmune controls are.
Breathing, okay? Homeostasis, temperature.
Exactly. Now, THC will not cause any respiratory problems, but there's other problems, you know, mental things when you're acting on the CB1 receptor. I like to say it like this. You know, you don't want your grandma to be smoking my Vortex for her first medical experience.
No.
Because she's probably not going to have a second
right.
with cannabis. So this THCV seems to act as not only a regulator to the CB1 receptor, So it kind of throttles the effect,
mm-hmm.
which does two things. It extends the pain-killing experience when medicating on it. The other thing that we were really excited about is one sample, not grown by me, grown by a grower down in Colorado, came in with the 5% THCV with cannabinoid total ratio of 26%. So, yeah, I bred something that's 26% in the bud stage.
Wow.
So that's just proud on a pothead level, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's just cool, you know. But on the medical level, we searched even further, and we found out that this THCV has ramifications with Parkinson's disease. And if Big Pharma doesn't fucking stifle us and crush us, and the stupid goddamn U.S. government doesn't roll over all these wonderful plants and cures, we may just find the cure for some things like Parkinson's disease.
Yeah. Cure UK's got a question here.
GW Pharmaceuticals are actually working on THCV now for Crohn's disease.
Oh, my.
And you know the problem with all of the big companies, I have nothing against big or money or any of that stuff. It's simply that it's not needed. We can grow our own plants. We can grow our own strawberries. We can grow our own watermelon. We can grow our own corn. There's no reason that we can't grow our own medicine in the backyard.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of what there's that fear factor with the medical establishment is I've often compared it to when Martin Luther nailed the Protestant Reformation up on the church wall and said, we don't need to go to a priest to get to God. We can do it ourselves. We don't need to go to a guy in a white coat to get our health. We can grow it ourselves.
Exactly. And, you know, the reason that is, and we all know this, is because the insurance companies need to be involved and money needs to be made. And George Cervantes, by the way, George Cervantes is like one of the nicest people in the world. I don't know if everybody is aware of that. He's like the sweetest guy. He's so cool. Me and my wife, Miss Jill, love him so much. But, you know, he likes to tell people you can grow a pound of marijuana outdoors for $30.
Yeah.
And you know, out of a pound of oil, we can make a pound of weed, we can make two healing doses of Rick Simpson's oil. And you know, this is something that actually has been proven, certainly much more than ghost, okay?
Yeah.
You know, certainly we have more proof that Rick Simpson's oil cures cancer than we have proof that there's paranormal.
Yet there's a whole TV network dedicated
okay, you're
hunting
with me.
Ghosts.
You're so with me, okay? Thank you. I didn't know if you were getting with me on that. Okay. Okay. So, but yet everybody's ignoring it. This is goddamn farmer up in Canada that's figured out how to cure cancer with hemp oil, and people are just like, duh, 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 I don't get it. And I mean, I've personally been involved with people that I have a friend that grows outdoors that gives away 140 pounds of marijuana a year. He turns roughly half of it into Rick Simpson's oil, the other half into tincture. The guy's got Bell's palsy, so he'll go into a seizure while he's making something to cure somebody else. The guy literally puts his own health at risk every year to do this. He puts up with a lot of shit. He gets all stressed out by the time it's all over. People take advantage of him, and he's doing it for 19 years up in Oregon.
Yeah.
But he gives this Rick Simpson's oil to people that have been to the doctor that have been told, you are going to die.
Yeah.
And I've partied with these fucking people, so they didn't die. And, you know, it just kind of pisses me off that you know, can I go off a real quick story?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I went to the doctor the other day because I am having some anxiety issues because, whatever, I'm 50 years old and I have a lot going on. My kids are driving me crazy.
And the federal government doesn't like what you do. That's always a little stress-inducing.
Yeah, so that's going on. So I go to the doctor and I talk to him for a while, and we talk about cannabis a little bit. And I mention sativas, and he looks at me like I'm, you know, he has no idea. And I just got right on his shit. I went out to my car, and I got my dank book, and I gave it to him. I autographed it and gave it to him. And I said, look, 40 million people in this country smoke marijuana. I'm just the only guy that's ever came into your office and said, I smoke marijuana.
Right.
You know? And yet you're still my doctor, and I still need your help to figure out what's going on in my life, you know? And you don't even know the difference between a sativa and an indica. It just doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
And so I'm taking the proactive way of getting my doctor informed so he understands. And I actually got my doctor to say, it sounds like you might need to try some of those cushions you don't like so much.
Well, you know, you sound like now the herbal version of the pharmaceutical rep that goes in and wines and dines the doctors and hands them all the free samples and stuff. I can see Subcool going and saying, hey, here's a couple samples of this and this and this. You need to give these out. Well, that's the world we need to have.
I just don't see how a doctor can treat the populace when the populace are us, and we are potheads.
Yeah, man. That's so cool. Thank you so much, man. Take it easy. Have a good cup.
Thank you very much.
Want more than just your normal show live? Get your daily fix of marijuana news and interviews on the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the weekday podcast available on iTunes and at stash.normal.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, folks. We got a radical rant time here. Bill Bennett, he's the former drug czar. You may remember him from earlier administrations, and he has come out recently to talk about his the bill that not his bill, excuse me, the bill that Barney Frank and Ron Paul have put out that has is about legalizing marijuana. And, of course, Bill Bennett thinks that is a terrible, terrible idea, if I may quote the basketball star. What the hell's his name? Charles Barkley. Thank
Charles
you.
Barkley.
It's terrible, terrible idea. Terrible. So I want to bring this up here. And excuse me, because the new layout, I've got things messed up here a little bit. I got to twist around and fix things after the show. Didn't think about that. But anyway, Bill Bennett has contributed his piece to CNN where he's calling out Barney Frank. He says, from precincts on the left, Barney Frank, and people on the right, Ron Paul, want to legalize drug use, starting with marijuana. Ron Paul even says he's go so far as to legalize heroin. So right out of the gate, Bill Bennett starts off with this idea that it's something about legalization, you know, of heroin. Right? Because you understand, when they make these comments, they always have to make these comments in context of other drugs, because most people aren't that scared of marijuana. So immediately starts with this little heroin reference. Now, the next thing that he comes up here is says, let's see, let me get to this part. He tries to defend this. Bill Bennett tries to defend this. Now, remember, Bill Bennett is a guy who drinks alcohol, smokes cigarettes, and has admitted to having $11 million worth of gambling debt. Okay, so here's, you know, pot, meat, kettle. But anyway, he is saying that the first thing about keeping drugs illegal, the reason why we have to keep drugs illegal is because it's the best way to keep drugs out of the hands and brains of children. What about the children? Always got to go there. We know three things here. First, children who do not use drugs continually tell us one of the reasons they don't is precisely because they're illegal. So I guess the point here is that we have to lock up adults. We have to ruin adults' lives so that kids don't smoke pot. That seems to be Bill Bennett's position here. If we do not incarcerate adults, if we do not make it illegal, if we do not steal their property, if we do not break into their homes in the dead of night with no-knock warrants and shoot their pets, if we don't go to all that trouble, kids might smoke pot. But here's the problem with that logic, Bill Bennett. Kids are smoking pot. Right now, among American 12th graders, we've got about 40% of them that say that they have smoked pot within their lifetime. We have got kids that are saying that is easy or fairly easy, and numbers of 80% and higher for the past, you know, decades that we've asked this question, how easy it is for you to get pot, and they all say it's easier to get than alcohol or tobacco. So the kids are smoking pot. Now, he continues to try to defend this, saying, at least since 1975, report after report has found that perceptions of risk and social disapproval of drug use correlate very closely with drug-taking behavior. When people in the prevention community ask teens who don't use drugs why they don't, time and time again, the answer comes back, because it's illegal. This explains why a greater percentage of teens abuse legal substances like tobacco and alcohol over illegal drugs such as marijuana, even when they say marijuana is easily accessible. So what he's trying to do here is he's trying to say that by keeping marijuana illegal, that keeps kids from wanting to take it. At least the kids who aren't using it. You know, the ones that, the great numbers that aren't already using it. Now, it's kind of a silly argument when you look just over across the pond at the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, where the use of marijuana by adults is tolerated, where they don't feel like they have to lock people up in order to prevent kids from using pot, we have half the rates of marijuana use among kids in Holland as we do in America. For some reason, American kids won't smoke pot if we lock up adults. But Dutch kids, they just don't smoke pot even though they don't lock up adults. And in fact, if we look at the youth part of it, because he says that keeping drugs out of hands of children is the best way to prevent drug addiction generally. If we keep a child drug-free until age 21, the chances of use in adulthood are next to zero. By the way, I must be one of those next to zeros, because I didn't smoke pot until I was 22, Bill Bennett. But anyway, he says, keep it out of the hands of children. Well, again, looking at the example of the Netherlands, three times as many 15-year-olds are using pot in the Netherlands, or using pot in America, as they are in the Netherlands. And his final bit of defense here, he tries to say we don't have to guess at hypothetical legalization schemes, because legally prescribed narcotics has already proven it. We have an epidemic despite doing the oversight, regulation, and prescription requirements. Well, yeah, we have an epidemic of prescription drug abuse because prescription drugs are advertised like crazy and handed out like candy from doctor's offices that are constantly pressured by these pharmaceutical companies to give out these samples. And why are they giving out these samples? instead of allowing people to use the medical marijuana that they want to use. You've created the epidemic in legalization of these drugs. When we talk about legalization of marijuana, we often talk about advertising restrictions. If you're so concerned, Bill Bennett, about the prescribed narcotics overdoses, how about restricting the advertising on TV from the drug ads we get every 5 seconds?
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We have so much more to talk about on this issue. Well, stay tuned for hour two. We'll talk about it. Take your calls at 971-533-7111 for Coleco, Wiz Coleco, and Ganja John. I'm Radical Russ. For everyone here at Normal Show Live, thanks for listening. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.